Welcome back. It's Chris, the Chris Gilbertson Show, and we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful here, and through expert and millionaire interviews, and through tips and articles and things that I find for tidbits of information to help you as an entrepreneur in your journey to success. And also, I just want to share with you, if you are an information marketer or you're an online marketer or you're a blogger or anything like that, I have found and discovered a phenomenal tool that is getting me on page one of Google for almost any keyword. I mean, I'm talking any keyword in like multi-million searches on Google. So it's really cool. So if you want to learn more about that, just head over to chrisgilbertson.com or just email me at chris@chrisgilbertson.com and I can send you more details on that really cool tool. So today our show is going to be about Smart Brief. So if you haven't, like, I don't know what you guys read on a daily basis, but I like to get little quick, jolts of information. I love to read books. So I read about 30 minutes in the morning and I try to read 30 minutes at night every day. Doesn't always happen. But so what I do throughout my day is I stagger it with little teeny segments of information from Smart Briefs. And this website is awesome. If you haven't subscribed to it, head over to Smart Brief. I think it's smartbrief.com. They have Smart Brief for entrepreneurs, Smart Brief for leadership, and then there's another one for marketing, and they're awesome. I would highly suggest setting up a separate website, though, because you will get about 4 emails a day. But they have some of the coolest articles and just quick reads on key concepts for entrepreneurs, things that make you stand out. And of course, their email subject lines are super killer for swipe files. So if you need help with email marketing or you need help with headlines, you have to get this brief because it'll totally change your world. But anyway, so I was just scrolling through my email this morning here, and the first one that pops up, it says, "Would more booze and less sleep make you more inventive? ? And of course, I'm going to click on that because, what does that mean? I mean, especially as an entrepreneur, we're never getting enough sleep, right? Now, I'm not condoning that we need to start drinking. I just wanted to check on this article, though. So I opened it up, and it actually is a really, really cool article. So it's kind of funny, the picture they have on this Smart Brief is this girl sleeping on a bottle of vodka. So, they definitely have some really cool marketing ideas. So you'll get some cool tips and tricks here. But so the first thing, when I open up, they go right into an arithmetic equation. So it says, why being sleepy and drunk is great for creativity. And this is actually taken from wired.com. So this is not my content. I want people to know that. So if you go to wired.com, it's Smart Brief will take different articles from different sites and compress them into one email. So you'll get one email with one title. They'll pick the most provocative title out of the bunch, but there'll be about 5 articles in each email. So anyway, this is by Jonah Lehrer. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And so the first sentence says, here's a brain teaser. Your task is to move a single line so that the false arithmetic statement below becomes true. And what below that, it's based in Roman numerals, and there's a number 4. So it's a, Roman numeral number 1 with a V next to it. 4 equals 3 Roman numerals, 3 plus 3. So obviously, when you look at this, now how this works is you're able to take one numeral from the right hand side and move it to the left side to make the equation balanced. So in this statement, 4 equals 3 plus 3, you would just move 1 over to the right hand side. You would take one Roman numeral from the right and move it to the left. So then obviously it's going to be 5 equals 5. So in that case, it's pretty simple. Looking at it, it's not surprising that hard. But what they say is, what perhaps a bit more surprising is that nearly 90% of patients with brain damage to the prefrontal lobes, this leaves them with severe attentional deficits, unable to control their mental spotlight, are also able to find the answer. So now what they do next, so they're kind of prepping us up to understand this concept. And what happens is there's a more challenging equation below it. So now it's got 3 equals 3 Roman numerals plus 3. So 3 equals 3 plus 3. So 3 equals 6. And so looking at that, when I first looked at this, I kind of stared at it for about 30 seconds because I didn't really understand the concept of what they were saying here. I thought you had to move a Roman numeral. That was the only way to fix it. But in this instance, obviously our brain should be triggering a different set of solutions. And so what the explanation is that it should be 3 equals 3, and then you change the plus sign to an equals. I'm hoping this is making sense. So 3 equals 3 plus 3, so 3 equals 6, In actuality, it should be 3 equals 3 equals 3. And so it says only 43% of normal subjects were able to solve the problem. Most stared at the Roman numerals for a few minutes and then surrendered. Well, they didn't tell you you could switch the plus to an equals. I mean, come on. But it says the patients who couldn't pay attention, however, had an 82% success rate. What accounts for this bizarre result? So what they're talking about here is the explanation is rooted in unexpected nature of the solution, which involves moving the vertical matchstick in the plus sign, transforming it into an equal sign. So actually, it really was changing the direction of the shape. So what they had talked about, you know, your task is to move a single line so that the false arithmetic statement below becomes true. And what is our mind typically programmed to think about is just the actual numbers, not about the equation itself, which really, truly, without the plus sign and the equal sign, there is no equation. So those are the what they're talking about. So the reason the puzzle is so difficult, at least for people without brain damage, has to do with the standard constraints of math problems. Because we're not used to thinking about the operator, most people quickly fix their attention on the Roman numerals. So that's exactly what they're talking about, but that's a dead end. So it was very interesting. So they go on to talk about in this study, they are forced by their brain injury to consider a much wider range of possible answers. So essentially what it enables them to do is to stop the traditional, you know, lines of thinking of what we've been told our entire lives of how to look at things in a static black and white, and to be able to open it up and say, how can I be able to solve the equation. So this helps explain a new study by Mariki Weith at Albion College. The scientists surveyed 428 undergrads about their circadian habits, asking them whether they were more productive and alert in the morning or evening. And as expected, the overwhelming majority were night owls, which is why they studiously avoided 9 a.m. classes. Then the scientists gave the students a series of problem-solving tasks. Half of these tasks were creative insight puzzles in which the answer arrived suddenly and seemingly out of nowhere. Here's a sample insight puzzle. A man has married 20 women in a small town. All the women are still alive, and none of them are divorced. The man has broken no laws. Who is the man? A man has married 20 women in a small town. All the women are still alive, and none of them are divorced. The man has broken no laws. Who is this man? I love these brain teasers, but I don't want to do this on air because I don't know the answer to this one. Okay, so here's the other one. Marcia and Marjorie were born on the same day of the same month of the same year to the same mother and the same father, yet they're not twins. How is that possible? Marcia, oh, this is going to be a great task. If you're listening to this and you want to participate, I want you guys to try to figure out the answers to these because these are awesome. Okay, so Marcia and Marjorie were born on the same day of the same month of the same year to the same mother and same father, yet they are not twins. How is that possible? So I'm going to let you guys think about that one. The answer is in here, though. So don't go and cheat. But if you want to post it on the blog, I think this would be a really cool conversation to talk about. Because, you know, it is really interesting to think about. Sometimes I notice, like, if I'm trying to solve a problem and I am just been hammering at it all day long, you know, what I do is I've been conditioned just from my programming growing up is to let my subconscious mind think about it. You know, give it the task that night right before I go to sleep. Tell my mind what I'm trying to solve and then get a good night's sleep. Oftentimes I'll have a solution to the problem. Not always, you know, but sometimes it'll have an enlightenment mode to it. And this is kind of interesting to see how just a reflex off of what we're used to doing can help us. So the other half of the problems given to the students were standard analytic problems, such as long division and pre-algebra equations. These questions didn't require insights. Instead, they benefit from ordinary focus as people grind out the answer and check to make sure it's right. The subjects were given 4 minutes to solve each problem. Half of them were tested early in the morning, 8:30 a.m., and were tested in the late afternoon, around 5 p.m. So the results of the testament to the creative virtues of grogginess, when people were tested during the least optimal time of day, think of that night owl stumbling into the lab in the early morning, they were significantly more effective at solving puzzles. So performance on the analytical problems, meanwhile, were unaffected by the clock. Interesting. So it was more the creative, these mind, you know, twisters, tweezers, whatever they're called, these mind mind exercises, the brain teasers, they were more effective at that than affected by analytical problems. So the larger lesson here is that these sleepy students, like a brain damaged patient, benefit from the inability to focus. Their minds are drowsy and disorganized, humming with associations that they normally ignore. Interesting. And one last piece of evidence. A brand new study by scientists at the University of Illinois at Chicago compared performance on insight puzzles between sober and drunk students. They were aiming for real intoxication, giving students enough booze to achieve a blood alcohol of 0.075. Once the students achieved peak intoxication, the scientists gave them a battery of word problems. They are known as remote associate tests. They are often solved in a moment of insight. Here's a sample of problems. Your task is to find the one additional word that goes with the following triad of words: cracker, union, rabbit. In this case, the answer is Jack. According to the data, drunk students solve more of these word problems in less time. They're also more likely to perceive their solutions as a result of a sudden insight. So the alcohol made subjects nearly 30% more likely to find the unexpected solution. So again, the explanation for this effect returns us to the benefits of not being able to pay attention. So, you know, it's interesting how this talk, because, you know, if you've ever had insight when it comes to you, it's, for me, it's not usually when I'm sitting at my computer. I'll be out driving, I'll be in the shower, having a glass of wine with friends over dinner, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, you get a different idea. So it's really interesting, just the concept of this idea of being drowsy or being drunk, in this case, with this study, how your mind then loosens itself up and it's open. You know, it's kind of like when we're forcing ourselves to be good at what we're doing. You know, I got to be good at this. I got to get this done. I got to figure this problem out. I got to solve this now. It's kind of like our mind shuts down. So I thought this study was just really interesting to kind of check out. So just to end this here, it says, once again, the explanation for this effect returns us to the benefits of not being able to pay attention. The stupor of alcohol, like the haze of the early morning, makes it harder for us to ignore those unlikely thoughts and remote associations that are such important elements of the imagination. So the next time you are in a need of insight, avoid caffeine and concentration. Don't chain yourself to your desk. Instead, set the alarm a few minutes early and wallow in your groggy thoughts. And if that doesn't work, chug a beer. So I hope this was insightful for you. I thought it was a great article. Again, this was not my content. I want you to head over to wired.com. Why Being Sleepy and Drunk is Great for Creativity by Jonah Leher, Leher. And I think it's an awesome little article just to give you some, you know, ideas, food for thought. You know, I think in our fast paced society, a lot of us, you know, with our schedules, especially if you're working full time, raising a family and then, you know, building your business on the side, you know, a lot of times there's the pressure to get things built fast and built quickly. And sometimes just stepping away and giving your brain time to relax and decompress and just get in a state where it can actually be creative. And not constantly pushing it to work, 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 work will just help you in your business. I know it does it for me. And I have to do this. I have to regularly remind myself to take time, you know, to go meditate, to go do things that will help me be more productive, even though sometimes it seems a little contradictive. Instead of just work, 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 because that's what our mentality is like as an entrepreneur, to want to keep working. You know, so I think it's just kind of a cool little concept to open up to for ideas of how our brain works. I love brain teasers. So anyway, and to just remind you of those brain teasers, if you want, go over to my blog and post what you think the answers are. A man has married 20 women in a small town. All of the women are still alive and none of them are divorced. The man has broken no laws. Who is the man? That's question number one. Brain teaser number two. Marcia and Marjorie were born on the same day of the same month of the same year to the same mother and the same father, yet they are not twins. How is that possible? So that's your food for thought for the day. So again, it's Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And again, if you want to learn more about how to rank number one on Google for any of your keywords, head over to chrisgilbertson.com and email me at chris@chrisgilbertson.com, and you go out and make it an awesome day.